was the blood. I knew it was the blood. I knew it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died for the cross. I knew it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I knew it was the blood. I knew it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Good, let's sing that again. Well, I know he's coming back. I know he's. Who's he coming back for? I know he's coming back for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. And I know he's coming back. I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, oh, sing it again. I forget what you've done for me. How could I forget how you set me free? How could I forget how you brought me out? Jesus, I'll never forget. No, how could I forget? Oh, how could I forget what you've done for me? How could I forget? How could I forget how you brought me out? Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. Hallelujah. What a declaration tonight. I'll never forget. Amen. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. Think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord. All the glory and all the back home. I have a maker. He filled my heart. And before even time began, my life was in His hands.
Aren't you glad tonight?
He knows my name.
I'm glad He knows.
He knows my every thought.
Oh, and see.
He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call.
I have a Father.
I have I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty place.
Can you say it tonight?
If nothing for grace.
Oh,
that tonight. What grace. Amen. I trust you've come expecting this evening. Amen. God bless you tonight. It's good to be here. Our pastor and Brother Timothy are traveling up to Kentucky. They're at meetings. I'm sure there's others that have gone up to those meetings. We'll be leaving in the morning to join our little lick of fire with theirs. Amen. Just trust you. Full time here on Sunday. Brother Aaron will be ministering. Brother Joe will be ministering tonight. So we just want to invite the Lord. Invite his presence one more time. Oh, if he comes, anything can happen. Amen. Bless you tonight. We do want to remember Brother Peter Gailey has requested that we pray for him. I think I saw another request. I want to remember Brother Darrell asked that we remember Brother Boyce tonight. He's at home. He's constantly coughing and can't quite catch his breath. So we want to remember him tonight as well. Amen. Would you pray with me tonight? Heavenly Father, it's with joyful hearts that we come into the house of God tonight. Lord, not frolicking necessarily in just a frenzy, but Lord, so excited for what you would do. You're a supernatural God that, Lord, goes beyond our expectation, goes beyond our even what we might desire, things that we think that we've committed to you, Lord, and you're so quick to answer. How we so thank you, Lord, for coming by our way last Wednesday night when our brother Timothy was ministering. Again on Sunday when brother Jason was ministering, how your spirit so moved among the congregation and convicted hearts of sin and opened blind eyes and released the captive, Lord, and showed them that there's a greater freedom to walk in. And Lord, we're asking that tonight that, Lord, if you could do it one more time. Lord, maybe there's somebody here that needs a touch in their body. Lord, we know that Brother Boyce has requested prayer. And Lord, you're there with Brother Darrell and Sister Sharon. And Lord, you could come upon the scene one more time for Brother Boyce and touch him in his mortal body. You've given him many years, but Lord, would you just touch him one more time? And Lord, reach down your hand to Brother Peter there as he has requested prayer for himself, Lord, and needing a touch from you. And your hand is not too short. Lord, you know the situation that lays upon his heart and in his body. We just ask, Lord, that your grace would be sufficient once more for him. For Brother Joe, Lord, many miles have been traveled. A burden of the word is laid upon his heart. And we pray that you'd give him the ability to speak this evening and to bear what you've laid upon his heart to the congregation tonight. Lord, you know our needs. You know each one that's standing here present in the congregation, Lord, those that are connected by way of the internet. You know their needs, Father. And if you could come just one more time, Lord, we'd be so thankful to give you praise. Lord, we're reminded of the two lepers that came back and said, thank you. God, thank you for delivering us. Thank you for touching us, Lord. Where would we be if you had not come by our way just one more time? But we're so thankful for the grace of God that's been made available to us in this hour. Such an hour of gross darkness, but such a marvelous light that has been given. We pray that you take the tithes and the offering this evening, Lord. May it go to its intended purpose. Lord, bless the giver as they give this evening. Those that can't, you know their situation, God. Pray that you'd make a way in their heart too. In Jesus Christ's name, committing the service to you. Amen and amen. God bless you. As the brothers take up the offering, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I've ever done.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done.
So I come to tell you he's thankful for the blood. Amen. Where would we be if it had not been for that blood, that sacrifice? Let's just go to him in prayer this evening. Father, we just bow our hearts to you, Lord. Father, we're so thankful there's a blood. Lord, it was shed some 2,000 years ago, but it's just as effective today in this moment and this hour as it ever has been and ever will be, Father. So we're so thankful that we're a people that's under the blood, Lord. The life of Christ has been poured out, shed on our behalf, Lord. We're free from sin, Lord. Walking in victory, Father, triumphing over the death, hell, and the grave. And we just come tonight, Lord, and want to say thank you. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the promise. And we ask that you would speak tonight, God, through your word. May both the speaker and the hearer both be in tune with what the Spirit would have said tonight. We give you this service, Father. Ask that you'll anoint our hearts to receive now in Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to look here in Hebrews 10. I have a somewhat of a lengthy read in Hebrews 10, 1 through 18. Heard y'all had a really good service this past Sunday, and we're so thankful that, you know, God knows what we have need of, and he can bring a ministry in from wherever it may be and go down the aisles of our heart, minister to the things that we have need of. And I believe he's that much God this evening as he was on Sunday, as he was in our special meetings. If you got a need, I believe we got a God that can meet that need. So I want to speak to you. I want to pick back up on the theme that I've been speaking on, the way home. This will be the way home part three. But I want to kind of focus the context tonight on the purpose of the blood. The purpose of the blood. And we find here in Hebrews 10 and 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Notice that Old Testament sacrifice could not make the believer perfect. But he said, for then would they not have ceased to be offered because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscious of sin. But in those sacrifices, there was a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we be sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh, you got to be thankful for the blood tonight. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission, this word remission here means release from bondage, imprisonment, forgiveness, or pardon. Where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. God bless you. You can have your seats this evening. So we're sticking back on the way home, and we look here in verse 20. The Bible tells us by a new and a living way. So we find this theme is stretching through through the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the worshipers could only come once a year to offer a sacrifice, and that's on the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur. And they would bring this high priest a spotless lamb or a spotless sacrifice, and he would offer it on their behalf. But it was only once a year. It was God's ordained way. It was holy. It was, and it served a purpose. But notice, it can never take away sin. Let me start my timer so I don't hold you too long. But so if it could take away sin, if it could make the worshiper perfect, then there would have been no need for Jesus Christ to come. There would have been no need for him to be the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. But we find the Apostle Paul teaches us in Hebrews 10 that those sacrifices could not remove sin. They could only cover sin, and they would come once a year. But when they left the presence of the high priest, there was always a remembrance of sin. It was always in the back of their mind what they must do. That day of atonement, they must come and they must lay their sacrifice down. The worshiper came. Notice, he would come in a sinful nature. And he would offer a sacrifice. And when he would leave with that same sinful nature. Because the blood of bulls and goats could never eradicate sin. It can never take away the desire to sin. It cannot remove that inward pull that we have in our humanity towards sin. It cannot transform this sinful nature and give it a godly nature. There was only one blood that can be provided for that cause. Those sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats, was only a type pointing to the ultimate sacrifice. The Lamb of God who would be slain before the foundation of the world. And he says, lo, I come in the volume of the book. Now, Paul is picking up where David said this in the Psalms 40. I come in the volume of the book. Otherwise, he's coming in the first five books of Moses. And those first five books of Moses are pointing to a Messiah. They're prophesying there's going to be a lamb, there's going to be a blood that's going to be shed, and it'll no more be under blood of bulls and goats. It'll be a final sacrifice. Well, when you come into the presence of that lamb, you're going to leave different. Your desires will be different. Your nature will be different. Everything about you will be different. And he says, Lord, I come in the volume of that book. To do what? To do the will of God. To be the sacrifice. The Bible speaks of it in Genesis. He's going to be the one that bruises the head of the serpent. But he came. Notice, when he came and when he shed his blood, something greater happened. His blood didn't just cover sin, it took sin away. It didn't just deal with the act, it dealt with the nature of man. It didn't just cleanse us outwardly, but it transformed us inwardly. There was an emorphe happened on the inside. And seeing through that one sacrifice, the believer, we are being made acceptable before God. But not only that, he breaks every power of sin and he gives us his own nature. Let me tell you, young person, don't just be satisfied with a religious veil over you. You make sure that your nature matches that nature. You make sure you're not coming under the blood of bulls and goats or mom's sacrifice or the preacher's sacrifice or the pastor's sacrifice, but you lay your hands on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and let that blood overcome you. Notice, by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering. No more do we have to come to the altar and present a sacrifice and sacrifice every service. We got to come. No more yearly remembrance. No more returning with the same old sinful condition. But once and for all. I want you to hear me. Once and for all, there's a true cleansing. There's a true freedom. And there's a new life. See, when man sinned before God, he crossed this great chasm. So in this great chasm, Brother Bam will tell us, man crossed. He left himself no way back. He cannot get back again because he crossed that separation between him and God. See, man stepped out of eternity and he stepped into time. And he never could formulate enough good efforts, good deeds, shed blood, this, that, and the other, to bring himself back into an eternal position. See, the blood of bulls and goats could not bridge the chasm and bring man back into original fellowship with God. Traditions and actions of the high priest, as good as they were, could not bridge the chasm. No matter how sincere the worshiper was, and he lays his hands on the sacrifice, it could not bridge the chasm. There was a great gulf between an eternal God and fallen man. But I want you to know why. Because sin nature dominated our lives. Sin nature separated us from our Creator. And Brother Bam would talk to us, and he would say how God would come down in the cool of the evening. God coming down in the cool of the evening and walking with Adam and walking with Eve. But when sin came in and separated, no longer could God have fellowship with man again like that. Now he's God above them. Oh, I love it. You say, Brother Joe, I need a quote. I'm glad you asked. I got one for you. Don't worry. I'm not going to hang you out to dry. He said, God condescending, coming down from above man. He couldn't touch him because he sinned in the Garden of Eden and separated himself from his fellowship. Then what happened? He had to be above him. The blood of bulls and goats would not let him fellowship with man again, but through laws and ordinances and foreshadowing this time coming of an offering of bullocks and so forth and sheep. But God, being full of grace and mercy, he took a substitute. It was a lamb or an animal and was offered a substitutionary death. But the blood of bulls and goats, as Hebrews said here, he said it can never take away sin. It was only a propitiation or an appeasement for sin. So it couldn't bring man back into original fellowship, but it allowed man to enter into the presence of God. It would bring fallen man back into the apprentice, but not back into that original fellowship. See, he was still God above man. But aren't you thankful in this hour, in this day, there's been a blood provided? He's no longer just God above us. He's not just God with us. But now, even in this hour, in this moment, he's God in us. The Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you accept his blood, sin no longer controls our lives. Sin no longer dominates our actions. Sin no longer speaks for the person that you are. Why? Because the Bible tells us in Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Then he tells us in the message, look, we are saved by the blood of God. We're taught in the Bible we're saved by the blood of God. When God himself became one of us, he changed his tent. Oh, come on, church. This is how much God cares about you. Great, eternal, omnipotent being changed his tent. And listen, what he came down, condescending from glory, and became man, therefore born without sex. He created himself a body that he lived in himself, Emmanuel. God represented with us, the Word made flesh among us, and lived with us to do what? To redeem many sons of God through the shedding of the blood. What's the purpose of the blood? To redeem fallen man back to the position of sonship again. Not just to bridge the chasm, but to remove the chasm. To redeem us back in place as sons and daughters in full authority and power. See, God seen that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. He watched every worshiper as they would bring their sacrifice. Whether it be a bullock, whether it be a sheep, whether it be a goat, whether it be turtle doves, whether it be this, that, or the other. See, that sin, but he says here, listen to how he says this, and I want to kind of hone down on this phrase here in this quote, Message 1, 1963. He said, God seeing that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, he never manufactured, but he created a chemical in the blood of Jesus Christ. That sin once confessed in the right way. So I want you to listen to this. So you're probably saying, sin once confessed in the right way, you don't even bridge the chasm. You completely take away the chasm. God don't even know that you ever sinned. So don't you understand the importance of a genuine repentance? A godly repentance. And the Bible tells us that godly sorrow leadeth us to repentance. But listen what he says. You don't even bridge that chasm. You take that chasm completely away, and God don't even know that you ever sinned. I say, hallelujah. Oh, the devil may remind you of yesterday. He may remind you of your past and all your failures. But let me tell you, once you put that sin and you put that life in the shed blood of the Lamb of God, God don't even remember your sin. There's no longer a gulf between you and God. The chasm has been removed by the blood of the Lamb. And that's the purpose of the blood, is to bring sons and daughters back in fellowship with Him. Sin confessed in the right way. He said the very nature of their God in their hearts. Woo! Oh, come on. Some of us need the nature of God in our hearts. See, sin confessed in the right way. In the Old Testament, sin was confessed over a sacrifice. Brother Derek, you know what they did? The worshiper placed his hands. And you can find this in Leviticus. He placed his hands on the head of his sacrifice. He identified himself with his sacrifice. And his sins were symbolically transferred. So all that he did that year on the Day of Atonement, he would come place his hands, identify himself with his sacrifice, and symbolically all his sins transferred over to his sacrifice. And then the high priest would take a knife or a flint rock or whatever it was, and he would slash his throat, and the blood of that animal would get all over the worshiper. He covered the worshiper from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, but it never came into the heart. It only covered his outside, and he left with the same desires, the same sinful nature that he came there with. Oh, but this blood, come on, church, this blood is different. Come on, when you place your hands on this sacrifice, let me tell you, it ain't just going to get all over you. It's going to get inside of you. It's going to make you do things you didn't think you would do. You act the way you didn't think you would act, because this blood, it remits sin. It don't just cover sin. It annihilates sin nature. That's the purpose of the blood. That's the only way home, church. I know the Methodists, different ones, they want to take the blood out of their worship. I want a bloody worship. Notice he placed his hands, and this act was done only once a year. Sin was only covered, never taken away. But there was always a remembrance of every act. And it became this process that we find here in Leviticus. As we understand, it became a tradition. This is the Day of Atonement. We got to go to the tabernacle. We got to offer a sacrifice. It lost its importance. It lost its sincerity of repentance. Well, I'll have another service. I'll have another camp meeting. I have another opportunity. You may not. But godly repentance. Notice. See, sin confessed in the right way, church, not through traditions, not through rituals, not through a form of religion, not through fear, listen to me, of missing the rapture. Not through fear of going to hell. Not through guilty conscience of being caught in your act. But sin confessed in the right way is through the finished work of Jesus Christ. We find here in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10 says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation." So sin confessed in the right way is not just admitting you're wrong, but it's bringing it under the blood and turning from sin.
That's right. Yes,
sir. Not just feeling sorry or sorrow, but placing everything on your sacrifice. Not just speaking of it or about it, but believing that it's been taken away. So we got to believe that when we confess our sins, He is just and He is faithful to remove all iniquity and all sins. See, true repentance is turning from and turning towards. Turning from sin and turning towards Christ. Turning toward His Word, turning toward good works. And Brother Bram tells us, I love this quote here. He says in the Message of Law, you know what the blood of Christ does to confess sin? When y'all say amen or yeah, give it to me, I'll let you know what it says. You know what the blood of Christ does to confess sin?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me tell you what it does. He said, you women could imagine having a wash tub full of bleach and you take a little eyedropper full of ink. And you drop it, that ink, down into that wash tub full of bleach. What happens to the ink? He said, the ink becomes bleach. He said, what happened? It doesn't hurt to bleach a bit. It takes on and becomes bleach. And that's what confessed sin does when it's confessed upon the blood of Jesus Christ. It changes its color and it becomes righteousness. So your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Oh, he don't even see your sins. All he sees is his righteousness. Your sin takes on the righteousness of your sacrifice. Oh, we find here in Revelation 1 and verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. So notice who did this. And Brother Bam says the word washed there actually means loosed. Not only are you washed, you're loosed from your sins by his blood. See, loosed from our sins in his own blood. Isn't that wonderful? But you're spiritual minded. Did you catch it? It was his own blood that loosed us completely from our sins. It was not human blood. It was the blood of God. He says now, the omnipotent Jehovah God came down and made himself a body by means of the virgin birth and indwelt it that it might be the blood of God that would free us, loose us entirely from our sins and present us spotless before himself with exceeding great joy. Amen. The purpose of the blood so that he could present himself a body. So he didn't entrust his plan of salvation to anybody. When he heard that there was sin in heaven, or that his son sinned there in the Garden of Eden, he didn't trust it to Gabriel or to Wormwood or some special angel. No, God came himself, the eternal God, and dwelt a mortal body in order to take away sin. And he became the Lamb in order to shed his blood and enter into the veil with it. And notice, I wanted to, and this is in the church age, I wanted to clamp down on this so you get this real good. Since it's the blood of God, it's a perfect blood. Yes. Some of you repenting, you go back and you got this grief in the back of your mind. Did he forgive me? Did he forgive me? It's a perfect loosing. Yes. You're washed. If it's a perfect blood, then it's a perfect loosing. He says, since the blood is God, it's a perfect blood. And if the perfect blood is loosing us from the power and bondage and defilement of sin, then the loosing is perfect and complete. Hear me, somebody. The blood has loosed you. It's a perfect loosing. It is perfect and complete. Quit worrying over what God has done for you. Just accept it, God. You freed me, God. I'm no longer in sin, Lord. Oh, and it may come and it may remind you of what you did, but that's not who you are. That person's dead, and the blood is taking on your identity now. Now you're sons and daughters of God, walking by faith in the promises of God. See, then the loosing is perfect and complete. There is now no condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now, somebody say now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. It wasn't your favorite preacher. It wasn't a special night. It wasn't this, that. No, it was. Notice what it is. It's the law of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of the life of Christ hath made us free from the law of sin and death. And for what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. Speaking of the blood of bulls and goats, it was only weak. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. For sin condemns sin in the flesh. And we find by one Spirit we're all baptized. You believe that? Into the body? And we become members of that body? God makes no mistakes, Brother L. He wouldn't bring you. Somebody needs to listen to this. Listen what he says here. He makes no mistakes, right, Sister Felicia. He wouldn't bring you in if you wasn't worthy. Ooh. Oh, we're struggling with my worthiness in there. He wouldn't bring you in. I was talking to Brother Johnny this morning. I said, God don't deal with those that are non-seed. He only deals with elected seed, because in non-seed there's nothing to quicken. Oh, but that predestinated son, that predestinated daughter of God, God's going to go after them. He's going to send forth an eagle scream, and they're going to get all that the Father has given me. They shall come unto me. If you wasn't worthy, he wouldn't be dealing with you. He knows your heart. That's right. He knows what you are. He knows your motive. He knows what you are. He said, there's traps along the road. Sure. The devil will cause you to stumble and you say, well, I didn't mean to do that. God knew that. He says, oh, listen. You're still perfect because there's a perfect blood offered for you. And a bleeding sacrifice hanging before the throne of Almighty God. So when a man comes to Christ, we're not laying our hands on the lamb of a field, Brother Caleb. Notice, he lays his hands by faith on the Lamb of God. Amen. And when sin is confessed there, not on the lamb of a field, but on the Lamb of God, it's not covered, it's removed. It's not remembered, it's forgiven. The Bible speaks and we paraphrase, it's in the sea of God's forgiveness. But the scripture says in Micah 7:18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Amen. Verse 19, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Oh my, I don't know about you, church, but I'm glad my sins are somewhere drowning in the sea of God's forgetfulness. It is mighty, as impressive, omnipotent, omnipresent as God is. God don't even know that I sinned. See, it's not returned, Brother Aaron. It's washed away. Our sins have been loosed. See, the power, though, church, is not in just our confession alone, but it's in the power of the blood that our confession is made on. So listen, this is what I mean by this. As long as a man confesses, but he still looks to himself, he's going to leave with the same nature. He's going to leave with the same desires, the same habits, the same addictions, the same doubts, the same unbelief, the same struggles, the same faults, the same failures. He's going to replicate the same cycle. What happens, he becomes no more than an Old Testament worshiper bringing an annual sacrifice, only to go out with sin nature. But when that sin is confessed through the blood of Jesus Christ, notice something changes within the individual. The burdens of life are lifted. The conscience is clean. The nature is changed. The pull toward the world doesn't pull you no more. Now you're being pulled from a different direction, because something happened on the inside. See, the world pulls on the flesh. God's pulling on the inside because he sees that predestinated seed laying there. So that is sin that's confessed in the right way. And in order to get anything from God, we must first believe. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to even please God. See, for he makes it personal. It's not he and the preacher and he and his mama and he and his daddy and he and this group and he and the clique and he and that. But he, personal, that cometh to God, he has to come. That means you don't sit there like a knot on a log. You got to take action. Got to come. Make a step toward God. He'll make a step toward you. But you must believe that he is. Believe, have faith and confidence in. That he's a rewarder, he pays dividends, he's a recompenser of those that diligently seek him. They beseech him earnestly, they crave, they demand his presence. And Brother Bram tells us, in the stature of a perfect man, he says, faith is the foundation of all of it. See, for without faith, it's impossible. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And when you're a skeptic of the Bible, I wish there was a few other people here tonight. But God knows. But if you're a skeptic of the Bible, notice now, when you're a skeptic of the word being right, you might as well stay back until you first believe. And Brother Brandon will give them instruction in a prayer line. If you come and you don't believe, step out of the prayer line. Come, believe. So what is sin? Now we're talking about sin. You're hearing the blood cover sin. And you think, well, Brother Joe, we're Christians. We're Mrs. Believers. We're not out smoking, drinking, womanizing, doing all this thing. Sin is unbelief. So we're going to deal with that for the next 30 minutes or so. I'm not going to hold you very long tonight. But I just wanted to go down this road because I see that it's problematic in our generation because we grow up in the message and this is all we've ever heard. We've all we've ever known. We've become religious. We've done all the things. We know how to do everything right. We're not at the honky-tonk on Friday night. We're not out there on Saturday night. At least I hope we're not. Y'all should say amen. We're not. Well, me and Brother Aaron, Brother Tim and Timothy got our work cut out for us if that's not the case. But what is sin? It's unbelief. There's only two elements that controls the human being. Two elements. I preached a series a while back. God does impossible math. 1 + 1 = 2. It's two elements. It's not hard. Faith and doubt. Satan chose the head. He chose the mind. But God chose the heart. See, he chose the mind, what you see, how you feel. But God chose the heart, what you don't see, and it's faith. Because you have to believe from the heart. You reason from your head. But he said, what is sin? There's only two elements that controls the human being. That's either doubt or faith, one or the other. You are possessed of one that dominates your life. One's going to dominate your thinking, dominate your life, control your motive and objectives. See, just depends on how much faith you have and how high you can rise. You know, he tells us a story about the dog, the chief. Two dogs roaring. Who gets, you know, whichever one I feed the most. So how many, show of hands, and we're going to all class participate so we can all see we're on the same. How many of you have ever dealt with unbelief? Something ever just spoke to you and you, I cannot believe that. And you call yourselves Christians? All right, so we all just show of hands, everybody again. Come on, put them up in the air like you just don't care. Woo, woo. We all have battled or had the doubts of unbelief come flying over. You know, the farmer, he said he couldn't stop the buzzards from flying over, but he could stop them from roosting. So you can't stop unbelief, a little bit of doubt here. You know, maybe this says here, can God, will God do this, do that, and the other. But the thing is, you can pull down strongholds. Because the weapons of our warfare, they're mighty through God to pulling down, casting down imaginations, casting down unbelief, and going back to the word of God, our absolute. But we deal with sin. But he said, you got to have faith. So we want to tonight to anchor and finish this thought on faith. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. Substance. Something you can touch. Yes. You know, something that's real. Right. It's anchor. Nobody can talk you out of it. It's mine. Yes. It's the evidence. Notice, it's the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things. Or it's the things hoped for and the evidence of things, as Brother Bam says, what kind of evidence? He said it's a holy evidence. Let me keep going. Now, therefore, when you say, Brother Branham, I believe God's a healer. Well, if you believe that, then accept him as your healer and not lying, but actually believing that by his stripes you are healed. There's nothing going to turn you from it. It's settled. Come on, somebody, listen to me tonight. Listen to what your prophet is trying to get over to you. If you believe that God is a healer, and it doesn't only apply to healing, it applies to deliverance, it applies to the Holy Ghost, it applies to the prodigals, it applies to all the promises of God. If you believe that God can, then let it be settled in your heart tonight. See, faith is a settled thing. It's not something that eludes you or something that, as a carrot on a string, is always out in front of you. And you're always chasing it, never to get a nibble. It's not some fairy tale, some hope so, some pie in the sky, sandcastles. But faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that we don't even see. We'll look here in Matthew 7 and verse 7. So the key to receiving anything from God is by faith. You must believe that God's going to reward your faith. That his arm is not short and his ear is not heavy. But what he can extend an arm and he hears the slightest prayer. Matthew 7 and verse 7, the Bible says, ask. I believe that was the theme in our meetings. At least somebody spoke on it one night. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Come on, amen. I'm going to have to help you preach. I'll help myself preach it. Fine. We can do this together or I can do it without you. Listen, for everyone that seeketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Of what man is there of you whom, if a son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Brother Aaron, Jude needs something from you. You're a good father. You try to be. I mean, I know it. In your heart, you're a great father. And if Jude comes and he needs bread, you're not going to give him a stone as much as you probably want to, just because that's your nature sometimes. You kind of had that about you. But we're not going to talk about that tonight. But you're a good father. You want to provide for your kids. You know, the thing about you want to do what was not done for you. You want to do above and beyond. You want to give them the whole world. Yes. Well, we can't. We're limited, right? But he says, or he asked for a fish, you give him a serpent. Man, what kind of father would you be? He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask of him? See, to everyone that asks in faith, believing, he receives. He that seeks diligently, he finds what he's looking for. Him that knocks and keeps on knocking, the promises of God will be open to him. This is not just some casual religion, but this is a persistent faith. Ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. The promises are to everyone. It's not to those that try once and quit. Well, you know, I knocked Brother Joe and God didn't answer. No, it's not for those that try once and quit, but the promises of those that refuse to walk away from it. I wonder tonight, how many of us will refuse to walk away from the promises of God? God, you promised it. I'm knocking, I'm asking, I'm seeking, Lord. I need you to come on the scene tonight. Well, we find too many people stop right before the door opens. Too many people give up right before the answer comes. Don't give up on God. This is not the hour to give up. This is the hour to give in all. Give your all. Lean into the promises of God. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. If your earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much more does your heavenly father? Think about it. He's not holding back. He's not ignoring you. He's not turning you away. The issue is not God's willingness, but it's our persistence. Ask what you will, and it shall, promise, be given. Ask in faith and not in unbelief. See, faith keeps asking when there's no answer. Faith keeps seeking when nothing is visible. And faith keeps knocking while the door is still closed. But the sin of unbelief, we're going to deal with this. If we look here in Mark 9, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they had beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with him? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth, and he gnashes with his teeth, and he pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him, and he saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, notice what happens. Straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since he came unto him? And he said unto him, of a child. And oft times he had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And listen to this father's plea. But if thou canst do anything, if thou can put yourself in this as a parent, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, notice he flips it back, if thou canst believe. We're asking God, if you can do anything, he's saying, if thou canst believe. If you can do anything, help my family, help my marriage, help my children, help. If thou canst believe, then all things are possible to him that believeth. See, many times we find ourselves like this father. We believe. Let me go back because I didn't finish that scripture. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And many times we like this father, we find ourselves believing, but unbelief overshadows our faith. See, we believe that God can. We don't question God's ability. We believe, right? We have faith. But we question his willingness for us. See, God can heal. But what does unbelief say? Not your sickness. See, we believe God can deliver, but unbelief says, your case is different. We believe God can set a man free, but unbelief says, you've been like this all your life. You were born like this. It's your nature. It's in your family. It's a strain. Just accept it. See, God can fill with the Holy Ghost, but unbelief says if it was for you, you'd already have it. Come on, church. See, we have faith, but we struggle with unbelief. See, we're caught between two voices. Faith says God's able, God can, God will, but unbelief whispers, but not for you. I don't know about you, but many of us dealt with that. Oh, God called you to preach, but unbelief says, are you sure it was God and not you just trying to do something? Trying to just get some popularity or stand before the people? Begin to war in your mind. So that's the greatest battle ever fought. And here this father stands there, honest, broken, desperate, when Jesus tells him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. He didn't pretend. He doesn't put on a religion. He cries out, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, and that's where many people really are. It's where some of us really are, not full of the now, but aware of the battle that's inside. Notice Jesus didn't turn him away and say, you know what, come back when your faith is perfect. You know, go fix your unbelief. I ain't got time for this. No, he met him right there in the middle of his struggle. See, because even faith mixed with a cry of help is enough to reach God. Did you hear that? Faith mixed with the cry of help is enough to reach God. But many times what we find ourselves, we pray, and we pray in unbelief. So what do you mean, Brother Joe, by praying in unbelief? That means you approach God with doubt, with hesitation, lack of expectation that he can or he will answer, often while simultaneously desiring just to believe. You want it, but in the back of your mind, it's going to be just like every other time. Notice, praying in unbelief means praying for a miracle, maybe healing or a loved one, but at the same time, have a fear that God may not act or that it's too late. Praying in unbelief is praying when your conscience or your confidence in God's power has been shaken. So you've watched something and it shook you and it rattled you. And now you question, can God be real? Is this message real? See, we have to do like the prophet instructs us to do. In the greatest battle ever fought, he says, open up that mind. How many of you got a mind tonight? Yes. All right, we got about 25% participation on that. He said, open up that mind. Oh, boy. Yay. Put a smile on your face and open it up just for a few more minutes. See, that's the battleground there where the battle sets in array. Right here in the front line, your mind, open it up and say, I doubt my doubts. You're getting instructed from a prophet, not just a prophet. The seventh angel is telling you how to overcome unbelief, how to pray without unbelief. Open up that mind and say, I doubt my doubts. Notice, oh, I love this. I'm doubting my doubts now. I'm believing God's word. Here I come, Satan. Something's going to take place. Sure it will. Yes, sir. Yes. See, there's something about a people, he says, they're thinking, oh, the Spirit. He said, when the Spirit anoints them, listen to this. The Spirit anoints them. It might seem a little strange to a person that don't believe this way, but if they are unbelieving, it's the spirit of the devil anointing that person. See, it's pulling right down like that with disbelief. And then the person is likely believing they're pulling in the Spirit of God. See, because it's the Word of God. We all know that. And the devil can just put a question mark across it. And that's what the devil does. He puts a question mark across the promises of God. God can, but question mark for you. God will, question mark, but. If, he always puts an if, a question mark, and a why, like we need to explain it to God. He says, notice what he says here. He said, if the devil can just put a question mark across there, then he's got you. But when you erase that question mark and say, that's every bit true. Come on, church. That's every bit true. I wish I had this quote. If I were to put it in a PowerPoint, it'd be great for you. And it's for me. Yes, sir. Yeah. Notice, it's every bit true. So God can, God will. I can, I will, I do believe. But it's for you. You got to believe tonight, church. And it ain't just some promise for the preacher. It ain't just some promise for the musicians. It ain't just some promise for this person or that person or mama and daddy. But it's for you tonight. It's for me. It's my promise. He said, when you erase the question mark and say it's every bit true and it's for me, then you're pulling from God. So if you'll come and you'll keep these memories and conscience and everything thinking about, well, I might fail and I might not be right. He said, don't you do that. Not at all. Throw aside everything and open up that channel. Listen, this is the greatest battle ever fought. Throw aside everything and open up that channel and say, God, your word is eternally true. And it's for me. I said, what we should do on Sunday morning, when you walk through those doors, ha, Brother Aaron, you're going to love this because you're going to be here by yourself this weekend. You walk through those doors, you throw aside everything else, open up that channel and say, God, your word is eternally true and it's for me. I'm coming to receive. I'm coming to get blessed. I'm coming to get something from God. He's going to open up. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep believing. Your word is eternally true, Lord, and it's for me. Notice, and if the whole church fails, woo, oh, if the whole world fails, I can't fail. Because I'm taking your word. Oh, church, If you're going to get anything from God, you got to believe. Yes. You got to believe that it's for you. Yes. That healing is for you. Yes. His word is for you. Deliverance is for you. The promises, they're for you. Yes. If you're going to receive a crop, the way to receive a crop is you got to get the ground ready. Yep. You just go out there like a dummy and throw seed on the ground. Well, I'm not going to ask you. Don't show of hands who's ever done that one. No, you get the ground ready. You go out there and you till. It ain't fun tilling. Out there in the hot sun with the motor of the little tiller hitting you in the face. Miserable. A lackluster job. But notice, to get the ground ready, he says, take all the stink weeds and the briars and creepers. Got to get them out. Right. Listen what he says. That's unbelief and doubt. Yes. If you want a crop, you got to get all the unbelief out. Right. You got to get all the doubts out. Sweep it out of your heart. Get ready. Then the fields broke up. He says, now any divine promise of God is a seed, and the seed in the right ground will produce its kind. Corn will bring corn. Barley will bring barley. Wheat will bring wheat. And the divine promise of God will bring the results. If it's placed in the ground, they're watered with faith, prayer, and trust. God shall bring it to pass. And he says, I'm saying with an experience. So don't plant a seed only to go out and dig it up the next day. No, you plant the seed. You commit it to the ground and you leave it there. And you let it grow. And you water that seed with faith. Sister Debbie, you water that seed with faith. See, the seed in the right ground will produce every promise that he made. Because it's God himself. But it has to be watered with faith to make it come to pass like any other seed. And Brother Bam tells a story, and I'm not going to hold you too much longer. But he says here, this is the message, show us the Father. He goes, I was thinking now, the best doctors in the United States, 2 years ago, he went to Mayo's clinic, and this is when the gun blew up in his face, and he was blind. He had to be led around by his arm. He couldn't see. And he went to Mayo's clinic, and they said, you're broke up, old boy. You'll never come out of it. Man, you got cancer. There's no hope for you. You're broke up. You're going to be blind. You'd be the blind prophet. But listen, he said, I turned to the old word. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Yes. So he turned now. He saw what was in front of him. I guess he really didn't see because he was blind. Some of y'all catch up tomorrow morning. But he was blind. But he turned away from what he couldn't see. And he turned to the old word. Whatsoever things you desire. Don't let that become some fairy tale, some pipe dream, some little cliche that we just say to make somebody feel better about life that's falling on some hard times. No, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And listen what the prophet says. And I said, Father, place them in my heart. Here's a prophet of God dealing with the loss of eyesight. And he's saying, God, place that promise in my heart. Because he struggled just like we struggle. We want to put Brother Branham on a pedestal he never sinned. Brother Branham struggled. He was human. He had failures just like we have failures. He was a prophet, but yet he was still a man. And he battled things. And here he goes, I said, Father, place them in my heart, and I shall water them with faith day and night. And tonight I stand in perfect health. I have 20/20 vision. And I wonder how many of us can say, Lord, place that promise in my heart tonight. Maybe you got a prayer for a loved one, a prayer for healing, or prayer for deliverance, whatever it may be. Just place that promise in my heart. As I go down just a few more minutes, I promise we'll let you go here shortly. He said, every time when Jesus met the enemy, he said, it's written. He goes, I believe he had power to do it, but when he met Satan on the same grounds with the same word that you can meet him with. He didn't use any special power, though he could have. He didn't perform abracadabra. No, he didn't perform some hocus pocus spell to defeat the enemy. He came when it is written. He went back to the Word. Because the Word is the blood. And the blood is the life. And you can't separate the two. So listen to what he says. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. He says, now watch the order of the word. Believe now, present tense, you receive it and you shall have it. See, it'll be given to you later, but believe now. Now, some of you young people, you want the Holy Ghost so bad. And we're grateful. We're thankful that you desire the Holy Ghost. But you get frustrated with God because you don't have it. But believe now and receive later. But are you coming with the prayer of faith? Or are you coming with the prayer of unbelief? Because this things that we're struggling, we're seeing in this hour through some of the prayer lines, some of the people, they're coming and they want God to do the miraculous. But in the back of their mind, there's a shadow that says, not for you. God can, but not for you. God will, but not for you. God's able, but not for you. And they want it. But he said, believe. Throw all the other stuff aside. Get all the briars out. Get all the stink weeds out. Get all of it out. Don't dig it up every morning. Just believe now and receive later. When I received the Holy Ghost, I was believing that God would fill me with the Holy Ghost. I didn't get a goosebump. I didn't snot my way with tears the day I got it. Honestly, I can't tell you when I got it, but I got it. I got it. Well, how do you know you got it? That's the thing. That's the million-dollar question, right? How do I know I got it? Check your motive. Check your objective. Check your nature. If you still desire to hog wallow, you ain't got it. But if you desire God and God's nature is living in and through you, and the blood has been applied. I got so much more that I could go through here, but Brother Bram talks about when that farmer out there on the field there of the Hereford Association, you know, this one's got a brand on it, this one's got a brand on it, this one's got a brand on it. God ain't worried about if you're message, if you're Baptist, if you're pres. He's looking for the blood tag. Yes, he ain't worried about your good deeds. He ain't worried about the prayers you prayed. He ain't worried about the demons you cast off. He ain't worried about the great sermons you preached, because there's going to be some come, Lord, we did this in your name and this in your name. We cast out devils in your name. And he said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. He's looking for one thing, church. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, you can come on in. You can graze in the alfalfa fields of the Hereford Association. When I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. That's what he's coming for tonight. There's a purpose of the blood. And I want to encourage you. Take God's word. Water it with your praise. Fertilize it with your worship. And see what God does for you. Musicians, if you'll make your way back. In the Patmos vision, he said the word has never failed in the mouths of believing Christians. And in this last age, it is here stronger and greater than ever in the true word bride. Oh, little flock, you little minority, hold on to that word. Fill your mouth and heart with it. Someday God will give you the kingdom. So take the word. Believe the word. Place it upon your lips. It's not so much that we as ministers have to do all the praying for you. Oh, we don't mind praying, do we, Brother Aaron? No. But what scares the devil is when you take that word and you place it in your mouth and you begin to confess for your promise. The word has never failed in the mouths of believing Christians. And the word is not just letters on a page. See, when the word is preached in faith, it demonstrates. And when it's believed in faith, it manifests. And when it's spoken in faith, it acts. Let's play something soft, Sister Lorianne, if you would. And those early believers, they believed the word of God. They spoke it by faith, and God confirmed the sick were healed among them. Devils were cast out, and captives were set free. Why? Because the word when it's placed in the mouth of believing Christians has never failed. It didn't fail then, and it won't fail now. So take the word tonight. As we close the service, if you would just bow your heads just for a brief minute. The purpose of the blood. We have to establish that the blood is the way that God has chosen. It's through blood that sins are remitted. It's through blood that we have forgiveness. It's through blood that we can ask whatsoever things we desire when we pray, believe, and we shall have whatever we ask. There's needs tonight, Brother Boyce. We're going to pray for him tonight. We're going to believe. If you got a need tonight, just lift up your hand by the showing of your hand. I believe God's here to minister to that need. Believe that he is a rewarder. He's a recompenser. He pays wages. You're not a servant, you're a son. And the blood is coming this hour to place you back in a position as adopted sons and daughters of God. So whatsoever things you ask, whatsoever things you desire, if you can believe tonight, get all the doubts aside, get all the unbelief washed away, and believe, then you shall have whatsoever you ask for. Father, thank you for your presence tonight, Lord. Thank you for the time you've given us just to worship you tonight in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for the blood, Lord. If it wasn't for that blood, where would we be tonight, Lord? Aimless, walking around, Lord, in lawlessness. We're so thankful, Father. It's not just a covering, but it fills our every heart, our every desire, all that we are. Lord, your blood has washed us, loosed us. And we stand perfect, not by ourselves, Lord, but by a perfect sacrifice. And Lord, you see the hands that were lifted tonight. There's needs represented by the uplifting of those hands. And Lord, we preached about faith and the battle of faith and the battle of doubt and unbelief, Lord. And if we expect a crop, we expect a promise to come to pass, we got to get all the little stinkweeds and briars, all the doubts and unbelief aside, Lord. So tonight, Lord, I pray that you would just wash us by the washing of the water of your word, Lord. May we just go out of this place believing, Lord, not only believing, but receiving, Father, expecting you to fulfill the promise that you've given us. We ask a special prayer upon our brother Boyce tonight, Lord. You see the need in his body and his life. We ask you to go to him. Send your healing angel by his way. Touch him in his body tonight, Lord. Use him, Lord. Speak to him, Father. Heal him, we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, we just commit this service to you now in Jesus' name.